Praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you, you're so excited about Jesus today.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Come on, people. The world's not shy when they got junk to shout for. I said the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got to be as bold as lions in this day.
Amen.
When Amy is talking about Sister Diana and the struggle she's gone through, there's several in here gone through struggles. I just want to emphasize that. And are going through struggles. And like Sister Darlene. I was going to call you Debbie. But Sister Darlene is another warrior like Diana, has gone through a lot, and look where she's at. She's here today. She has just got done having a broken hip, right? And she's here. But you know, that's the faithfulness of saying, the younger people need to learn that from the older people. People who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing stops them. We're under attack of the enemy, and he will attack us, and we got the Heavenly Father that's going to take care of us. He allows it sometimes in order for our faith to grow. But there's several in here that got wrinkles, like me. They got wrinkles, right? Well, you know, those wrinkles, those aren't wrinkles. Those are scar wounds through life, going through life. It shows you walk through a lot of warfare and everything, but you got the victory. But I just want to acknowledge everybody in here that has gone through storms of life. We appreciate you. We pray for you, and we love you. And I just want you to know, this is a praying church. And Diana, the head up our prayer ministry, we will continue to pray for the people, the community, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, I thank God for prayer warriors. Without prayer, we're nothing. Right. Amen. I say that frequently because it's true. So today also, if we end up not having enough volunteers, we'll find out by the end of the service, and you've given to VBS, you need to get a hold of me. We will either reimburse you or we will put it into children's ministry. We're not going to put it in a savings account. We're going to spend that money now for ministry, because now is the day of salvation. But if we go forward, then thank you very much for those who have already given to meet that budget. So anyway, I just wanted to finish that out too. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Father, I'm going to speak on a subject that I wish I didn't have to, but I'm going to. We're living in an hour of time, and we're under attack of the enemy, a spiritual warfare. So, Father, I'm asking that you will speak to the people's hearts to receive this, your word, in the proper light, and to realize that we need to be urgent in our prayer, praying and living for you in this hour we're living right now. So I'm asking, Lord, Holy Spirit, this morning, and anoint this congregation to open their spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to see your mighty hand at work upon them also. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. That was quiet.
Amen.
There, I like that loud. You know, it keeps people awake, doesn't it, when you get loud? Wouldn't you rather do it yourself than have me say, wake up?
Wake up.
Shout to the Lord.
Hey, Levi. Good to have you here, buddy. And a new little friend here. Anyway, thank you for being here today. It's vitally important. Every one of you are important to the kingdom of God, and every week we come together for it. And also, I just acknowledge another person I see sitting here by the name of Blanche, and she knows who she is. I think she's heading for her second century.
102.
So she's 2 years on the way. Boy, you would have done good in the book of Genesis. But you're a real example, Blanche, and we appreciate you. And you're an example also of God's blessing a person and taking you through the stages of life to where you're at today with a smile on your face. And, you know, I appreciate our older people in this church, too. So many of you have smiled. The world, a lot of times when people get old, they get old and grumpy and their faces start going upside down. And And in the church, I notice even under warfare, a lot of the older folk, they have smiles on their faces, even in the midst of the storm. And that's by staying close to Jesus. That's by staying in the Word. That's by being a prayer warrior and living a life the way God asked him to do it. And that's how you end up in your life till Jesus takes us home. Amen? Amen. Instead of this here, like you're eating oatmeal out of a stovepipe, you're like this. So praise the Lord. But my subject matter this morning, and you know how many know what month it is? June, right? And we've got young people in here today, and I will not be talking detail of anything I'm going to be talking on that would be offensive to a young person, but to let them acknowledge that it's happening in their world. And that's why VBS is so important too, and Sunday school and things, that we can speak to our young people, because believe me, the world is after our children, young and older. They're after them, big time. And so I'm going to speak on the pride of the godless. The pride of the godless. We need to hear it ourselves too, by the way, to remind ourselves. The Lord hates pride. How many knew that? The Lord really hates it. He hates pride because it represents independent from him and resist authority. He hates pride. That's why I never get to a point and say to yourself, I arrived, I know this Bible really well. That's pride. Nobody does. Because once you say that, there's a lot more in there you missed. And we need the Holy Spirit, and we need God to help us every time we read the Word of God. And God will open new things to us every time we read it. Amen? And so we need to remember that. But did you know that the homosexual rainbow flag only has 6 colors? And God's rainbow has 7. I'm going to talk a little bit on that subject matter. I got to do it. From what I hear and see and read, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I'm going to say that again. The homosexual rainbow flag that you see plastered all over in this hour we're living has 6 colors in it. God's rainbow has 7. The month of the homosexual celebrating pride is on the 6th month of the year. The letters of the LGBTQ plus have 6 letters in it. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but so we have 666, which is the mark of the beast. Revelation wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now we know God hates the lifestyle of the homosexual, not the homosexual person, but the lifestyle. We know that God hates pride. So here we have 666 right in front of us too, however that fits in. But I think it is kind of interesting. And what is the people celebrate? What are they celebrating when they celebrate the month of June, Pride Month? I don't know if you can see this from here, but and when you celebrate homosexuality and Pride Month, this is who you're celebrating. Demons. Isn't that interesting that it's in the middle of Pride Month, demon? I think that's kind of interesting. Because it's a very destructive force. Go ahead, Mark. I played that short clip just to give you just a taste of what you saw a lot of children in that little short clip, didn't you? That's who they're after. And I'm going to preach against it because I do not want them taking one child from us. Amen. Not one. And people may not like it. I can't help it. I'm going to preach what I believe the Holy Spirit directed me to preach this week. But listen to this. It says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. prideful people. But I found this article in Charisma. It said, reported a new large-scale LGBTQ plus festival is set to take place in Israel. The four-day event this June, near the Dead Sea, they will name Pride Land. It's on the site of the biblical Sodom and Gomorrah and is expected to transform part of the Judean desert into a colorful Pride city. It is said to be the biggest LGBTQ plus festival ever in the Middle East. At what it calls the lowest place on earth, and they'll have activities for families and children. That's in over by Israel. And that is one of the largest homosexual gathering places in the world. But that's what they're doing. They're planning on making that a permanent city in that area. But isn't it interesting on what is called the lowest place of the earth? And isn't it interesting that they're planning it right at the same location as Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? It's like, here's to you, God. That's what they're saying. With all their colorful pride flags and all their stuff going on, and you saw some of the dress stuff, I mean, it's going to be a horrible place. It'll be demonic. And that's why I said they're worshiping demons. Anybody that takes part of any of this homosexual activity in this nation or any other nation, in your city or whatever, this is who you're worshiping when you do it, just to be there and acknowledge it. You're practicing worshiping a demon because that's who they're worshiping. Because homosexuality is not from God. It's not from God. And you know something? There's Christian families who have people who have gone into it. And that's what I've learned from people that I've known in the past in my Christian walk, Christians who have family members that end up going into it that once spoke against it, now longer compromise with it because they don't want to offend their loved one. Standing for what you believe. I've watched preachers stand behind pulpits that once preached against homosexuality, how it's a destructive force in our society, that once all of a sudden they got involved in some kind of a sexual activity with themselves, now all of a sudden they're compromising from the pulpit and they no longer condemn homosexuality, but they approve of it. It's amazing how that is a spirit that will even come, and it's in the church today, people. It's in the church today. It needs to be spoken against because it's destroying people's lives and they will end up in an eternal hell unless they repent of it. And it's really heartrending home that has been professing Christianity. And some of us have family members that are there. We need to stand firm in what we believe in love and stand for what we believe and never compromise. We do not hate the homosexual person. We do not hate them. I hate the homosexual activity and act that is unnatural. It's destructive and it destroys the human soul for all eternity. God did not create them. And we need to stand for what we believe. Today we have many in the homosexual community trying to convince others that they are Christians. You see, I've seen that I'm a Christian lesbian or homosexual. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. They're not Christian if they're practicing and living the lifestyle. It can't happen. The Bible says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. True love, when you show in Jesus true love, whether it's homosexuality sin or any other kind of sin, if you're living in it and you're disobeying the word of God, you're saying to Jesus, I don't really love you. Ouch. Jesus said it, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's really what we're telling the Lord. And so we need to, this is outright pride of the godless, what's happening, even what they call Pride Month. It's godless. We have well-known pastors, as I said, doing the same thing. They confess it right from the pulpits now. It's crept into the church. And what happens when the leadership will begin to compromise? Many of the congregation begin to, because our pastor said. But homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination. And it's one of the most horrible things, sins in the world, because it spreads like a cancer through society. And it will destroy cities. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Destroyed the whole city. We have celebrities. When I commented online, a couple of these movie stars. We have celebrities like Carrie Underwood. You know who she is? I read about that a little bit this week about her. She stands in her church, non-denominational church that she attends. Homosexuals are very welcome and loved in our church. But are they repenting? Are they getting out of it? No. The way she's indicated, she said, I can't see why anybody would be against them for loving someone, wanting to marry them. Well, you know something? I got guy friends. I got my my dad, my brothers and stuff that I love, but I'm not going to go to bed with them. I'm being blunt and honest with you. And Dolly Parton, who the world loves too. I made a comment on there. How can you be for that? And boy, I got beat up by Christian people. But she was also professing that that she is in support of the homosexual lifestyle. Look it up yourself. I'm not exaggerating. And many, many other celebrities are on the bandwagon. And what's that doing to our society? What's that doing to our young people who have mush minds yet and they follow the popular people that are for this kind of stuff? I've heard the young teenage gals in groups type thing where they said, I don't have any problem with homosexuals. I got friends that are homosexual. There's nothing wrong with them. Is what that's doing. It's forming their attitude toward that lifestyle and eventually may end up in it themselves or whatever, even if they don't. They're acceptant of it. And if you're accepting of it, you're as guilty as the person living in it. And that's true, isn't it? I know it's going to be really quiet today. I brought a pen. Just kidding. But the body of Christ, we need to stand up against that spirit of homosexuality, trans queens in libraries, adultery, fornication, and everything that's sin that the Lord hates. We need to stand up in this hour and speak against it.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be bold as lions and not be afraid, whatever. But Christians have got to start to stand against the sin in the world, even if it's in their own home. We got to do it, people. You saw that little clip. That was just, I didn't want to play a lot of it because I don't want to promote it. But just that little clip alone, you saw a lot of children in there and a lot of these people dressed ridiculous. In the city of New York right now, the city council, before a meeting, invited the homosexuals in there to put on a parade within the building. And dancing and all kinds of stuff in front of the council members, and they're all clapping. It's infiltrating cities right now. We got to stand against it. We are the salt and the light of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, what good are we? God said that. And we're to be a light shining in a dark world. That the world is getting darker, and it's going to keep getting darker and darker according to what Jesus said. But you and I are the salt and the light, and we're the ones that are going around, and we're going to speak the truth. See, people don't want to hear the truth. This. They want to go where they get the little fuzzies on their ears. But they don't want to come to a Bible preaching church where the pastor is going to preach the truth. But I'm going to preach the truth with the help of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin makes you stupid. And a lot of reason prayers aren't answered in people's lives is right here. I just read it to you, Isaiah 59:2, and there's others. God chooses not to hear the prayers of prideful living in sin. He chooses not. Not that he can't. It's futile to fast and pray if a person is living in sin, right out habitual sin, and praying to a holy God and expecting him to answer your prayer when you're saying, here's it in your eye, God. I'm going to live the way I want to live, and I don't care what your word says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then you want to go before him and say, God, help me today. I just don't feel good. God said, he doesn't hear it. The first prayer you'll hear out of a mouth of a, whether it's a Christian who is backslidden or a non-saved person, is, Lord, forgive me. And in my life, God's ears are wide open. And he says, come on in, I forgive you. He always will. That's why he's faithful. He does not hear. And that's so vitally important in our lives. When prayers are not answered, it's not because God cannot hear. As I said, Psalms 94:9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that can be any sin, unforgiveness, hatred, all kinds of things we don't think about sometimes. Prayers may seem to go unanswered in our life. Unconfessed sin, unforsaken sin in the life can cause that. And we say, well, boy, I'm a really great person. I don't do all that bad stuff. Maybe you better ask God to forgive you for pride. That's a sin. Let me say this again for some that may be just tuning in by watching here. We do not hate the homosexual at all. We're not like the one church who wishes they'd all go to hell and stuff, preaching on that. We would never do that. We know that Jesus came to earth to die for the sinner, of which we all are. And we desire Jesus, compel them to come to Jesus in order that they not go to an eternal hell. But we're living in a time that we hate that act because it's what it's doing. It's forcing a lifestyle upon society, literally forcing it. Yes. They're forcing it in our school systems. They're forcing it in our government. They're forcing it everywhere. They're forcing it upon us. And if they're going to try to force it upon me, I'm going to force back in love and say, you will go to hell in that lifestyle. Oh, they don't want to hear the truth. But they got to. If you're a born-again Christian and you love Jesus, you're going to witness to them. What sin in Sodom was known for, what would you say? The few I heard say it very quietly, that's true. Homosexuality. That's what we think of when we hear the word Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, the sin of homosexuality is also called sodomy. Sodomites. You don't hear anybody calling them that, do you, on the news? They're all loving people. They're all love. They're prideful people. Just like, I'm no better than they are either. I'm going to say that. I'm no better than the homosexual. The difference between me and them is I'm born again. It makes me saved. But I tell you what, I never use that word G-A-Y. That's the farthest thing from the truth in the whole world why they adapted that word gay. They're sodomites and homosexual, not gay. There is no such thing. That's their word that they adopted and tried to steal, just like the rainbow. Doesn't belong to them. If I talk to one in person, I call them a homosexual. In love, I don't do it angrily or mad because I want to reach them. I've witnessed to homosexuals like that. And there's a lot of really nice ones out there that are very polite and friendly, but a lot of times that's how they get into people's lives too. And you got to be discerning in your life in the hour of living. We're told the story in Genesis 19:1-7. How many are going to listen to this now with me? You got to hear it? Yes. Going to hear it? Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And these came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. These were heavenly angels. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant night and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, old and young, all the people from every quarter. That's how it infiltrated Gomorrah. Oh, they're homosexuals. There's no problem. They're important to our society. You men and women, all, the Bible says, they infiltrated Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were so crazed that they wanted to get these three angelic people. And Lot was scared of that. He knew. And verse 5 says, and they called on the Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into the house that night? These are the homosexuals. They want to know where those men are. They wanted them. Because that's what happened. We're seeing that on TV today. We're going to see it in Israel. We're seeing it in New York already. They get aggressive and violent after a while, and they will gather together and group together, and they will attack. It's a demonic activity. And it's infiltrating your and my society, our cities, our homes, our churches. Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Genesis 19, verse 10 and 11. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. They saw the violence, these three men. They pulled Lot back in. They could see the lust and all the things that was happening around them, the people from the city. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house. Angels had to do with them to keep them from entering the house and storming it. They made them all blind. Both small and great. Did you hear that? Both small and great. So that they wearied themselves to find the door. 2 Peter chapter 2, 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day and their unlawful deeds. What was Lot doing amongst all of them? Was he witnessing? I don't think so. But it vexed. That means his soul was tormented. He could see the filth and the disgust all around him, and it tormented him. That's what Christians do sometimes. We walk into the filth and the lust of the world through concerts today where there's drugs and sex and smoking and cussing and swearing, and we're sitting in there raising their hands and shouting and hollering because of whoever they're celebrating there, and they're doing the same thing Lot did, and they're vexing their souls. We got to warn people. We got to warn them. God's serious. He's a holy God. Ezekiel 16, God's telling us, and you don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel chapter 16, God's telling us there were actually six sins of Sodom. Pride, gluttony, laziness, neglect of the poor and needy, haughtiness, and an abomination. They're all listed when you read down the chapter of Ezekiel. You can read them. That last word, abomination, by the way, is the one Ezekiel uses for homosexual behavior. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. It tells us James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. The pride cannot receive God's grace. God resists them. The humble, he's pouring his grace and his mercy upon you. Don't you think it'd be better to have a humble spirit? The Bible continually says, humble yourself. If I know I'm prideful or living in a certain way, it's up to me to humble myself. That's why you have 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's what we need today, right? God doesn't just not like proud people. He actively opposes pride people. They're destructive. It says he deliberately works against it. Proverbs chapter 3:34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. That means disrespects. He has contempt for the pride of people. But what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I mean, a lot of people are proud of things like you're proud of your children. Amen. You're proud of accomplishments in your life. That isn't what God's talking about. None of that. The key to understanding this is sin. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The proud mock God and stick their fingers in his eyes, so to speak. That's what pride people do when it comes to sin. They're proud in their sin. They want to boast about it. What's a humble person known for? Humility, right? That's what a humble person... You know, a humble person to me, when I see humble people, I say, oh, Lord, I wish I was that humble. My dad was a humble man, very humble man. Maybe some of your parents were too, coming from you, but even now, some of the parents are the most humble people you see. They're humble. They never retaliate. They never try to get even. They always have a spirit of humility about them. They don't brag about themselves. They're not all wrapped up into themselves. Today we're all taught to be all wrapped up in ourselves. It's all about me. That's why we have the iPhones and the iPads, so we can look at ourselves all day long. We got to look at ourselves. It's all about us. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. If I stood up here and said, you know, I'm probably one of the best preachers you'll ever have. I'm really good at what I do. You're going to say, man, that guy's full of himself, right? Because that's what pride does. And there are pastors that do that, and public speakers that do that, and people in pews that do that, because they may have a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger boat, a bigger RV, whatever. And they become prideful, thinking, look at us. Look at what I've got. And we need to be careful of that in our life and realizing that all those things that I just listed are things that God allowed them to get. They didn't do it. God did it. He gets all the praise and all the glory and all that. And that's part of his grace too. You're still with me, people. Amen. I know it's not popular, but hey, I'm here too. I got to hear it too. Why would a proud man not seek God? Well, why should he? He doesn't need God. He's quite capable of doing things on his own. He doesn't need God. You know, there's a illustration back in the days of Watergate. The older folk might remember this. One of the men involved in the crime was a man named Gordon Liddy, Watergate. Shortly after his release from prison, here's what he said. I have found within myself all I need and all I shall ever need. I am a man of great faith, but my faith is in George Gordon Liddy. I've never failed me. That is pride. There's people that come in the church too, say, I don't need your religion. You know what that is? That's pride. That means they don't need God. That's who they really mean. But we all need God. Sometimes life will help us understand it, because guess what? If you're not learning it now, you should learn it quickly. But I need God. I need him every moment of my life. Like one person said, I need God when I walk into Walmart. A proud person is usually a godless person because they don't want God. That's what makes them godless. Now, that doesn't mean they don't believe in God, because even the demons believe in God. They just don't need God. For example, the Pharisees were a very religious men, but they weren't godly men. Jesus spoke of them once, declaring in Mark 7:6, he answered and said unto them, well, has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, God reads the heart. He doesn't read the lips. How many religious people are sitting in churches they just attend so others see them? They want people to know that they're important in the community. They make business deals in the church. That really bugs me when I have a businessman approach me in church, even when I was attending a church, that somebody walk up to me and say, "Who you got your insurance with?" I say, "I'm not here to talk about insurance. I'm here to worship the Lord. You want to talk about insurance? Make an appointment." Time, people, that's pride. That's why they're there, to be seen. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he was saying that their hearts were far from him. They were literally godless people. In their self-righteousness, these folks like these, they don't need God. If anything, they think God needs them. God should be grateful that they even bothered to show up in church. Literally, that's what a godless person will think. I said to somebody one time, and a business owner, I said, "Boy, God's really blessed you with a nice business." He said, "God had nothing to do with this." He said, "I created this business on my own." You might be a good athlete. Say, "I'm the most wonderful. I can do more than anybody else in basketball, football, track, whatever, hockey. I'm number one." Pride. You said, God is the one who gave you the ability to do what you do. That's why you can do it. And you're not number one, because there's no number one or I in team. It takes a team. It takes a church, a body of Christ, to come together. It's never about the preacher. It's never about any of you. It's about him. We're here to worship him, the one who supplies all his riches which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. All of our abilities, all of our giftings, they come right from him. We got to remind ourselves that, don't we? Because sometimes people get so good at what they do, they start thinking it's really about them. It's really them. Movie stars get that way. They all think they're little gods running around. And everybody worships them. They don't realize that they get the diarrhea just like I do. Jesus told the story of a Pharisee that went to the temple to pray, and standing close by was a tax collector who had also gone to pray. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, 9-14, "And he spake the parable in themselves, that they were righteous and despised of others. Two men went up unto the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other not a Republican, but a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as this publican,'" which is a tax collector, "despised and hated." Verse 12, "I fast twice in the eyes to all that I possess." Five pronouns in just that short period of time. I. Notice he is using that. It's all about I. That's what he was doing. "And the publican," that despised tax collector, nobody likes him. "And that publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" That's what God hears. Humility, he was showing his need for forgiveness and trusting in God. Verse 14, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased," meaning humiliated. "And he that humbles himself shall be exalted," elevated. Jesus contrasted the godliness of a religious man with the humbleness of an imperfect sinner who loved God. Galatians 6:4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." But see, the godless kind of thinking that drives the proud and the godless, they don't need God and they don't need you, because they're better people than you and me. I don't need those people. They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. hear that. I hear that a lot. I don't go to that church because I think they're wrong and I think they're stupid and I don't like the looks of any of them. That's pride. God sees that pride. He's not blinded by it. And I always say to people, I don't care whether you believe that or not. I'm going to believe what God says and what God says He knows. God sees every thought of my mind. Nothing escapes Him. He sees my heart, my intent, everything. Their righteousness is all wrapped up in themselves. That's why it's called self-righteousness. If you find yourself looking down on others in church or at work or with your family or your neighbors, be very careful. Be very careful, people. We're to love one another. Rich, poor, old, young, nationality, skin color. We are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. You're all part of the body of Christ. I'm no better than you and you're no better than me. Be very careful if you look down on them because you view them as not as righteous as you are. And that's a dangerous place to be. Not as holy and as religious. That's dangerous. Be careful because those are the symptoms of proud, godless person. Pride Month, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, LGBTQ group has designated this month. Again, you're going to hear a lot more of it on your internet, your TV, or wherever, even seeing it downtown. Who knows? I don't go looking for it. Now, isn't it interesting? Pride is the first on the list of sins that anger God about Sodom. Sodom is a city known for sexual perversion of homosexuality. And now here in our day, homosexuals are telling us that they're proud of their lifestyle. Pride Month. What a month, huh? You see this as one of the other reasons why God hates pride. Pride often lies behind a person embracing their sin. These LGBTQ folks are proud of their sin and of their impurity. Live today in front of everybody because they're coming out of the woodwork and they're trying to grab the children too because children are impressionable. And they're trying to make it think it's all about fun and color and all that. And it's filth, perversion. It'll destroy a soul and send a person to hell. We need to warn our children. And they're not the only ones who do that. They're not the only ones who are proud of their immorality. I've talked to people who are proud that they can drink so many bottles of beer. They're proud how many women they've been with. They like to brag about, they like to boast about all kinds of sins. Today we have young people and old people, older people, that live together out of wedlock. And they aren't afraid to tell anybody about it. People that attend churches. Oh, my boyfriend, not my husband. Oh, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, young and old. And they talk out about it because in our society today, that's the way our culture is today. But God hasn't changed His mind one bit. You see why I preach the way I do? You see why other preachers preach the way I do in smaller remnant churches? Because it's gone away in the bigger churches, many cases. And you don't hear it. So with me, you either get mad or glad. I'm going to live up for it. Either mad or glad. It says in Isaiah 5:22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. For those who want to boast about it, they can drink. Others are proud of the drugs they use. I've heard people talk about how many different drugs they take. Today, people are proud how much marijuana they're taking because it's legal. There are many men who are proud of different things. A pastor told of a relative that I was that was proud of his collection of porn magazines, a relative of his, a pastor. And he left them out for people where he was first introduced to that impurity, this pastor was, is through his relative. And there's lots of people who are proud of their sin. But why on earth would people be proud of their sin? A proud heart resists God's authority and guidance. They don't care what God thinks. They could care less. It wouldn't seem make any sense except you realize that there are people who've turned their backs on God and they become godless. And even people who once professed the name of Christ no longer darken the door of a church, will no longer mention the word, and if you say Jesus to them, they'll fly off the handle. They're under self-condemnation on their own. I witness to somebody almost, I do not judge them. I warn them in their sin. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn, but to save. We always got to remember that. We're no better than anybody else. They don't want God in charge of their lives. They don't want to run things on their own. That's why some people just want Jesus as a savior. They don't want him as a Lord. But if you're coming to Jesus Christ, you better want him as Lord and Savior. They don't want to be nice people. I mean, they don't want to be bad people. They just don't want to be nice. They don't want you or me or anyone telling them that they're wrong. That's pride. There's a scripture that's most intriguing in Psalms 31:18. It says, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. We're hearing that every day. We're under attack, church. If you don't believe it, we are. The body of Christ is under attack, and we are not to run and crawl into some hole and hide. We're not to do that in this hour. We're willing to stand and trust the Lord protecting us and to go forward as soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ to a dying world. Even if that person stands in front of you, threatens you, whatever, you stand boldly and tell them the truth. And even if they do kill you, you still win anyway. You get to go to heaven quickly. But why would a proud be so angry about righteous folks? Well, because righteousness threatens them, convicts them. 2 Corinthians describes it this way in chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and unto others the savior of life unto life. These things. See, the proud and unrighteous smell death. That's literally what they smell. They smell God's judgment of how their lives are. They know. They know. And so in self-defense, they brag about how good they are and they're not ashamed. Psalms 94:4, how long shall they utter and speak hard things and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They try to make their lifestyle look normal, which they're trying to do today. And then they criticize those who intimidate them with righteous lifestyles by making it seem those people are somehow abnormal. Or they accuse you and I of hating them. A true Christian that hates another sinner. We want to win them. I've watched over the years as people in the media in Hollywood will viciously attack anyone who dares to challenge their behavior. That's why we're seeing people back away from it. These celebrities and pastors and people, when they're being interviewed on TV, they back away from the hard thing. Instead of standing for the word of God, they back away from it. How sad that is when God would give them a platform to warn the world of their wickedness. So in conclusion, I'll stop there. In conclusion, James 4, verses 7, 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can't have it both ways. Either follow God's way or no way. One person got smart and they said, oh, so it's God's way and no other way. What kind of God is that? It's a holy, pure, righteous God that knows his way is the only way to a heaven. He knows that the other way is destruction for all eternity and they'll destroy us. And that's why he sent his son to die. That one that says there's only one way, think about that. The only one way, and Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. Today we have many homosexual Christians. They're not. If they're practicing, they're not. They can't be. They're either saved or they're lost. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I read that earlier. Well, whatever kind of sin that would be. Humbleness says, I can't do this without even the least of the members of church. I need you. That's humility. You need me. That's humility. We need each other's. That's humility. I can't do it by myself. Neither can you. Some people think they can. That's why they don't come to church anymore. They don't need people. I need every member of Christ. I can't survive without God, because I believe if I come near to God, He will come near to me. That's when He comes near to me, when I draw close to Him. You know what's cool about the body of Christ? When I used to be on the mission, help on the mission field too, anywhere I go, I would find brothers and sisters in Christ, young and old. We'd have something in common like that, and that gave you encouragement. It gave you strength. But listen, the word pride and the word sin both have the same middle letter. What is that? I. Paul seems to appeal to the truth when he says in 1 Timothy 3, verses, "Men know not how to rule his own house. How shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he falls into condemnation of the devil." That's why I think it's dangerous when you put a lot of young pastors in leading huge churches and stuff. Pride comes up. They see themselves standing before hundreds and hundreds. They got to think about that before they do certain things. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Please. Again, thank you. I got to keep preaching on these cultures in our society. But with every head closed, every eye closed, now you know I'm imperfect, right? But with every eye closed, I just want to ask, is there anybody that walked in here today and say, "Pastor, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ"? Is there anybody that would walk in here today? Or you want to recommit? Is there anybody in here who said, "Pastor," and I'm not going to embarrass anybody this morning, I'm just going to pray when I finish here. But is there anybody in here who say, "Pastor, with this pride issue, that's all"? Just raise up your hand. Say, I have trouble with pride. And if you're saying, "Well, I don't have any trouble with it because anybody cuts me off on 694, I always say, "Hi, how you doing today?" Or do you have pride and you want to get even with them? That's pride. Is anybody got pride you want to deal with? Has people got in here anger? There's a lot of things that create pride in our life. Heavenly Father, you see the hands. You see the ones that didn't go up that maybe should have. But you see the ones that did, Father. So this morning we come before you. And Lord, we want to be a people that will show the world, Father, who you are through humility. Because that's what Jesus did. He humbled himself and died on a cross. He walked this earth. He was ridiculed. He was called names. He was accused of sinful things that he didn't commit. He was lied about. He was distrusted. But through it all, he forgave all. He said from the cross, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's humility. Father, help us to be like Jesus, to be humble as a congregation. That even if there's visitors here today and you leave, go wherever you go, remember to be humble. Help us, Lord, to walk in this hour of humility, that when we are attacked, and we will be, that we not rise up with hair up on our necks saying, "I'm going to tell you off, buddy," right now, but that we say we have a mission here. We got to draw that person to you, Lord. Help me to be humble how I approach him right now. Help me to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Help me to be a witness to my family members who are choosing to rebel and live in pride against your will, Lord. Help me just to remember to pray for them, Father, not with the Bible, but to pray for them, to live the life out in my life, to live for Jesus the way I need to do in my own life. And let them see it, Father, for your glory. And now, Father, I ask that you touch every home here today. Move upon every person. Meet every need they have, Lord. And bless their homes. And, Lord, their loved ones that aren't saved. Father, I pray right now that you'll touch their lives, dear God, that your Holy Spirit, through my brothers and sisters, will bring their loved ones into your kingdom. And Lord, you just put in my head about Jerry and Margie, missionaries, elderly people going to Romania to minister tomorrow. God, thank you for them, Lord. I was asked to pray for them, Lord, and almost forgot, but the Holy Spirit reminded me. But we as a congregation lift our brother and sister up right now. And Lord, ask your anointing and your protection be over their lives. And give them the wisdom and the understanding they need to do in that part of the world. I've been there. Lord, they need Jesus. So Lord, touch them and guide them by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody shouted.
Amen!
Hallelujah! Look at somebody and shake their hand and thank them for coming today and say, am I glad you're...
Before everybody leaves, though,